speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
When we think in regard to the blessings of life, we find that in the world, most people look at their blessings and they say, I am blessed because of the wealth that I have. They're looking at their bank account or the amount of money that they make. Others look to the things that they have and they say that they're blessed because they have great possessions. They look to the material things that they have in life and they say that if they've got all kinds of material things, then their life is blessed. Others look to their status, the position that they hold in life, and they say that they've got a good name that they've made for themselves and therefore they feel like they are blessed. As Christians, you and I know that we are blessed immensely by our God each and every day. And all of the amazing things, the good things, the awesome things that we have in our life, they certainly we put our time in, but yet at the same time, we are blessed with those blessings because God has been working in our lives. And as Christians, you and I know that the greatest blessings that we have is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And these blessings are eternally going to be with us. This morning, I want us to recall and to reflect some of the ways in which we are blessed by our God. To begin with, I believe that you and I are blessed and we have so much to be grateful for to God because of the immense love that He has for us. To begin with, we understand that God loves us systematically. And you might say, Kevin, what do you mean God loves us systematically? As I think in regard to the systematic way in which God loves us, I want us to understand that this deals with the order in the way in which God has worked in an orderly fashion to demonstrate His love and the planning that God has put into demonstrating His love for us. How many ladies in here will be having their family over for Thanksgiving on this Thursday? I would surmise that there's many who are planning and preparing, organizing for that day. And in that, probably, and we've never had a Thanksgiving day at our home, so I don't know all that goes into that. But I know that there's a lot of planning and a lot of organizing. And in fact, you're cooking for many days before. And you're organizing your home to set up for those who are going to be your guests. And why do you do that? Well, you might do it because you have a passion to cook and because you enjoy having people into your home. But I think the basis for that is because you love those that you're going to have in your home. You're wanting to make sure that everything is in order. Every plan is made so that your gathering together, your time with family and friends, will be a success. And we find is that God systematically, He has planned for us. He has organized for us. In fact, in the Old Testament Scripture, we learn is that when Adam and Eve fell to sin in the Garden of Eden, God introduced His plan to redeem mankind through the seed of a woman. And also, we understand, though, is that God established a lineage, a line through which the Messiah would eventually come into the world. And then when we turn into the New Testament Scripture, we find that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a virgin, born under the law. We find the bringing forth, we find the completion of, we find the fulfillment of how that God has systematically worked to demonstrate His love for you and me to offer us redemption in Jesus Christ our Lord. But also we understand is that our God truly loves us in the fact that God loves the world in a very sacrificial way. The most quoted verse of the Bible is John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God looks to the entirety of this world. And when God sees every individual, whoever has or who is or whoever will live, He sees a soul that has been created after Him, after His image. And He loves each and every soul so much that He sent His Son into the world to die, to sacrificially give His life so that the world could indeed have a means of redemption. And in fact, here's what God's desire is whenever it comes to His love for mankind. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, He says that the Lord is not slack, as some men count slackness, not willing that any would perish, but rather that all would come unto repentance. And while the majority of the world rejects God, That's not what God wants. God wants all of mankind to see the love that He has for us in Christ, and then therefore to surrender and to submit to His will for us in order for us to be redeemed through the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But also, brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning I want to encourage each and every one of us, when we think about the love of God, to understand that God loves each and every one of you, every single one of us, in a very personal way. In fact, remember in the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, we read, He says, "Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." He makes it very personal in regard to the love that He has for us. Yes, He sees every single soul in the world, and He loves every soul, and He wants those souls to come. But you and I, as Christians, we most certainly hold a very special place in the sight of our God. And God sees the ways that we are living, seeking to live our lives for Him, and therefore God wants to express and to demonstrate His love on an ongoing basis for us in a very special way, because we are indeed His special people. But in the same figure, we need to understand is that God loves every single soul unconditionally. Christ died for the ungodly. When mankind sins against God, God still loves them. But yet at the same time, we realize is that a man can fall from God's saving grace. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4 explains that. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 1 through 4. But still, there is this love that God has for us because we are special to Him, because He has created us after His very image. In fact, in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 34 and 35, verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or perils or swords?" Absolutely none of these things can separate us from the love of God. And in this, God wants us to understand that even if we're not living a life that is faithful to Him, that He loves us, and it's out of that love then that He calls us out of that sinful condition to come back into a loving relationship with Him, to express and to demonstrate our love on an ongoing basis. We have so much to be thankful for this Thanksgiving, but every single day, good people, because our God loves us in so many different ways. But also, we can be thankful as Christians because we fully receive God's forgiveness. Mankind chooses to walk away from our God. Man, whenever we come into this world, we're innocent in the sight of God. Infants or small children, the Bible tells us that these individuals are precious in the sight of God, and that the kingdom of heaven will be made up with all of these innocent souls that pass away whenever they're in that innocent state. But still, at the same time, those of us who live unto that point where that we are mature, to the point where we become accountable before God, when we get to that state in our life, the Bible identifies to us that we sin and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and verse 23 says, "For there's none righteous, no, not one." Verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And when we think about sin, as Christians, I want us to always think about where we are and how we're blessed by God, but also to keep in mind how serious sin is in the sight of our God. Sin is so serious because it carries ramifications with it. There are consequences for our sin. Take into consideration Adam and Eve. Whenever they sinned against God, there were consequences. The woman suffers today in childbirth because of the sin that entered in through Eve and man, where we're to earn our keep by the sweat of our brow. Nothing's easy in life. Why? Because of the sin that Adam committed, and now you and I also are paying the consequences for that, if you would. But also, not only do we find is that they suffered, they were cast away from God, Adam and Eve were, because of the sin in their life. Israel, take Israel into consideration. They were God's special people. God loved them like no other during that time frame. He protected them. He provided for them. And what did Israel do? The Bible tells us that they rebelled against God. And that rebellion spelled out sin in the presence of God. God loved them. and yet at the same time they sinned against Him. And the Scripture tells us in Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 is that God's face was hid from Israel. They too were separated from God. And then let's bring that forward to today. Today, you and I as Christians, we realize that whenever we were living a life of sin, that we were alienated from God. Why? Because God can have absolutely nothing to do with us while we are living in sin. Sin separates man from God. And in that, there's nothing that you and I can do in order to earn our salvation. I thought about a way in which to illustrate this, and I'm reminded of an instance that happened back in Indiana years ago whenever I was just a teenager. There was a young teenager who had journeyed out into the woods. I can't remember if it was deer season or something like that, but he was out in the woods alone, and he fell into this sinkhole. And it was very narrow and extremely deep, and as he fell down, his hands went up above him, and he was just pinned in, they say, about 15, 20 feet below the ground. And all he could do was just to holler out, shout out, "Somebody help me! I need somebody to save me!" And while he was there, finally, after nightfall came, search and rescue people came in with lights because he had been gone for so long, and they could hear a faint voice shouting out for help. And they made their way over, and sure enough, shined down in and saw him there, and they could drop a line down to him, and he could grab a hold of it. And they slowly pulled him out by that lifeline. He couldn't do anything to save himself. And that's where we are whenever we're in sin. And that hole that we're in, good people, is sin, and it's deep. And yet at the same time, we understand is that God is there. He is our search and rescue, and Jesus Christ is our lifeline. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are forgiven in Jesus Christ through our faith. Our faith is more than just an acknowledgement, intellectually understanding that God is, but based out of our faith, we realize that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And in this faith that we have for Christ and our God, we submit or surrender ourselves over to Him, obedience in baptism. And then we ought to strive each day to live faithfully before Him. We have everything in this world to be thankful for because of what God does for us outside of this world. He forgives us of all of our sin. But also, good people, we need to understand that while we are here, our God is constantly at work taking care of us. He understands everything that takes place in this world. I find it interesting. From time to time, we hear people who talk about, and they'll ask, "Where's God?" And in that, they're wanting us to think that God allowed tragedy to happen, and as a result of that He was not present. He did not know what was going on. And there are others that say that God created the world and then He backed away from it. That's not at all true. God is fully aware of everything that's taking place in this world. He sees us here to this day. He understands what it is that we're thinking. He knows what we're saying. He sees our gathering together as His people. And also, God sees the needs that we have in life. He understands that we need food, shelter, and clothing in order to sustain our life, but also in order to enhance our life, in order to bring blessings to our everyday existence here in this world. And God, in creating the world, not only did He create us, and we're special to God, but God has created this earth for mankind. Take, again, Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve were created, what did God create there along with them? The Garden of Eden. And you've heard me say before that that was an oasis for them. It was a place that supplied everything for this man and this woman. And God was there to make certain that this man and this woman, not only were they able to eat, but then also whenever their eyes were opened due to sin, they had a covering. They were clothed by our God, covered by our God. In this, though, we understand is that God has always provided for mankind. He provided for the children of Israel whenever they came out of Egypt, giving them sweet water to drink, providing them manna and quail. God was always there for them, and today God is there for you and me. He sees where we are throughout the entirety of our life. If we are able to provide for our families in a very big way, And what I mean by that is that we're able to pay all the bills and we're able to go out and have some of the luxuries in life and we're able to even lay by in store. Why are we able to do those things? It's because God has blessed us. And He sees where we are and He's working with us and He wants us to work with Him with those blessings, even for the furtherance of His kingdom. And also, though, if we're down on our luck, maybe we're not able to pay the bills. Or we're struggling to do it. And we're struggling to be able to lay something back. God sees us where we are during those times. And good people, not only does He see us where we are, He cares for us. He has compassion for us. And God is working providentially to continue to bless our lives if we are feeling the blessings, also to bless our lives, to bring us to more positive points in our life to where that we can indeed not only survive but thrive while we are here. But still, God wants us to understand that we play a significant role in that and that we've got to look for His ways that He's offering and then we've also got to put our hands out there and to step in the directions that He wants us to step in order to be progressive, in order for us to be successful in our life here. We can be blessed and thankful to God because He cares for us and He's there for us in so many ways. But good people, also today I want to encourage you with saying, our God has plans for us. God dwells eternally in heaven. We live in a world today where everything has a beginning and end. Amen? And it's hard for us to fathom. It's hard for us to wrap our heads around the idea that someone or something has always existed. And as I stand before you today, I say with much excitement as well as with 100% assurance that our God exists and that our God has always existed. And whenever I think in regard to God, I'm speaking more specifically about the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those three make up the Godhead. And they have always dwelt in heaven, and they will always dwell in heaven. And the Bible tells us, though, is that there are many mansions awaiting the disciples of the Lord. That's the King James translation. The New King James also translates it, many mansions, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. But I want us to understand, the original language literally means that there are many dwelling places. And what does that mean? It means that God has prepared a place for everyone, if everyone would prepare their life to be in Christ. Amen? And in this, God says that He has a place that is waiting. It is prepared for you and me as Christians if we will live our lives in accordance to the will of God. And I find it interesting and also important to point out in the translation that the King James and the New King James gives concerning mansion. Good people, I think that would be an appropriate explanation in regard to the places that God has for us in heaven. Why? Because the place that God has for us in heaven is so impressive. Those who enter into heaven will be taken back by it. Why? Because it will be more spectacular than anything that we've ever been able to cast our eyes upon while we're here. It will be so much more amazing than any experience that we've been able to experience while we live here in this world. We will be in the presence of God, and it can't get any better than that. We will be there in not only in the presence of God, but God will wipe away every tear from our eye. And He says that the splendor, the beauty of heaven is just so amazing. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I know that you're with me on this. That when we read what God has for us in heaven, we can't help but wait and long for that sometimes. And to just say, I can't wait to be there with my God and the glories that He has prepared for us in that land beyond. And the Bible tells us concerning that amazing place is that our abode there will never be taken away from us. This life will end someday. But this life, when it ends, will go on into an eternal life. And those who are outside of Christ, they will be eternally lost. And that's serious. And if we have those with us today, we want you to think about the consequences of being separated from God throughout eternity, not only today, but throughout eternity, and how that you will be sentenced to hell and the fire and the brimstone and the devastation that will be there without end. But for those of us who are in Christ, those of us who have a reward laid up for us and assured for us if we live faithful before Him, what a blessing that is to know that that will never, ever end. It will go on eternally because we too will be eternal beings in that great day. As Christians, we have everything to be blessed or everything to be grateful for that we would count as a blessing today. But today I want us to thank our God continually because He loves us, to thank our God also because He fully forgives us, and to thank Him because He's always there caring for us and because of the plans that He has for us in heaven someday. If you're here this morning and you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we want to extend His invitation to you today to accept Christ, to be the Son of the living God, to confess Him as such, and then to submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. If you're here today and you're subject to the Lord's call in any way, please come and